Asamyathatmana yogo duṣprāpa iti me pati vasyātmana tu yatatha sakya vaktum upāyataha. For one whose mind is unbridled, self-realization is difficult work. But he whose mind is controlled and who strives by appropriate means is assured of success. That is my opinion. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead declares that one who does not accept the proper treatment to detach the mind from material engagement can hardly achieve success in self-realization. Trying to practice yoga while engaging the mind in material enjoyment is like trying to ignite a fire while pouring water upon it. Yoga practice without mental control is a waste of time. Such a show of yoga may be materially lucrative, but it is useless as far as spiritual realization is concerned. Therefore, one must control the mind by engaging it constantly in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Unless one is engaged in Krishna consciousness, he cannot steadily control the mind. A Krishna conscious person easily achieves the result of yoga practice without separate endeavor. But a yoga practitioner cannot achieve success without becoming Krishna conscious. Reading this evening from the 6th chapter of Sri Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna is revealing to us the process of perfecting our life through the system of yoga. Yoga means, in essence, to control the mind. The mind, Krishna describes, is either one's best friend, if it is controlled, or one's worst enemy, if it is uncontrolled. In fact, the Bhagavad Purana declares the mind that is uncontrolled to be the only enemy in all of creation. Living within this world, we identify various people or situations as either friendly or unfriendly. We discriminate what is good and what is bad according to what gives me a particular type of enjoyment and what causes me suffering, either in the present or in the future. Prahlad Maharaj was listening to his teachers, who are today represented by practically all teachers in all schools all over the world. They were teaching him how to discriminate according to one's own selfish, egoistic purposes to be achieved in life. This person is enemy and must be somehow or other subdued, and this person is friend who we should make allies with. But Prahlad Maharaj told his teachers, this is all nonsense. All this talk of friends and enemies, it is simply a distraction from what real education is all about. Vidyavanaya sampane brahmani gavi hastini suni chaiva supakicha pandita samadarshan. One who is actually learned sees all living beings with equal vision, whether they be a learned Brahmin, a cow, an elephant, a dog, or one who eats dogs, because he sees that the Paramatma, The Supreme Soul, or Krishna, is in the heart of every living being. And besides the Super Soul is the part and parcel, fragmental portion of Krishna called the Jivatma, who is Krishna's beloved child. Therefore, a devotee tries to see the essence within everything and everyone. And whatever is coming, he does not consider it good or bad from the material sense, but he considers ultimately everything is good, because if I just somehow or other respond to the situation in such a way that I take shelter of Krishna with a grateful heart, then I make spiritual progress. Tathena kampam susamikshamano bunjana evatmatvitam vipagam vidvag vipurvir vidatam namaste jivetya mukti pade sadhayabhak. One who's in the most miserable condition of suffering, with all opposition defeating him, and with folded palms offers obeisances to Krishna with a grateful heart, thinking, I deserve so much worse, but Krishna is giving me just this little bit for my purification. If you can do that, then liberation is your rightful claim. If you cannot do that under those circumstances, you'll never be liberated. Vipadashantutashashvatatratratrajagatpuru. Queen Kunti prayed, let calamities come upon me. Kunti Devi, the most illustrious mother of the five Pandavas, she went through so many terrible crises in her life. She really had enemies. Her own life was not as dear to her as her children. That is the nature of a real mother. A mother doesn't mind dying if it means to save her child. Of course, these days, in Kali Yuga, motherly affection has become so much deteriorated that the mother, if she feels that the baby in her womb is going to be an inconvenience in her life, she murders it. In fact, in the country of America, and if we look in Bombay at the hoardings or billboards and what kind of products are on the market and what kind of television people are watching and what kind of cinemas are attracting people's attention, we can understand that this American mentality or Western mentality is very much influencing this great nation. In America, for every one child, for every three children that are born alive, one child is killed. One third of the population of newborn children are murdered within the wombs of their mothers, simply because the mother thinks having this child will be inconvenient. So let us remove the excess tissues within my womb and let me live a healthy, free life. But removing the tissues is just another way of saying, let me murder my own baby. But a real mother, even animals, if you see in the tiger, the most dangerous of tigers is not the men, it's the females, the tigress. Because the man, you know, he's dangerous. He's just going around hunting, looking for some food to feed his wife and children. But if the tigress sees any living being, whoever they are, whether they be an elephant, a gorilla, or a human being with a rifle, if she sees that that person or that creature is going to harm her baby, she becomes so madly ferocious, she'll destroy anything to protect her child. That's motherly affection in the animal world. And human society is supposed to be developed from that. So Kunti was actually first-class, compassionate, loving, caring mother. Haradukaduki, a saintly person, their only suffering is to see the suffering of others. What to speak of your own beloved children? She was with her children in the house at made of lack. They were given the message by Vidura in secret language that this house is going to be burned. Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana have a plan to kill you. This is the time it's going to be burned. Make a plan to escape. They fed Bhima poison. They cheated their children. They exiled them from their kingdom. So many persecutions, so many miseries. And after all that was done, there was the Battle of Kurukshetra, where her own firstborn son, Radheya, was killed. She was a lady that had a lot of trials and tribulations in her life. But then Krishna resolved it all and gave her children the throne of the entire world to rule over. And then Krishna was going to Dwarka. And then she was really feeling anxiety. Everything is too good. Vipada shantuta shashvatatra tatra jadatkur. Get Krishna. Let the calamities come. Because in them, with folded hands, I'm remembering you with a grateful heart, crying out your holy names. But now things are very comfortable. The tendency is to forget. So this is an example of how a devotee sees every possible situation as an opportunity to become more purified by turning to Krishna. That is really what it means to control the mind. But as long as we're seeing the scenario of what's happening in our life around us, according to my own egoistic understandings of what's good and what's bad for me, what's pleasurable to my body and my mind, and what's not pleasurable, then we remain bound by this materialistic state of consciousness, and we make no real progress at all. Krishna explains in Gita that a self-controlled person, he sees the worthless pebbles on the ground and pure 22 carat gold, the same. On our way here, we saw this incredibly magnificent jewelry store. It's like a palace with beautiful windows and marble front and guards all around it. And it says it's a jewelry store, the Western branch of it. And in the windows, there were these little kind of models with chopped off heads with jewelry on it, hanging from it. And gold jewelry. And it had a big advertisement, 22 pure carat gold. And right across, right in front of the jewelry store, a little down the ways, I saw some people, you know, passing urine in the gutter. Hare Krishna. And I was thinking, here's the dirt on the street, and here's the jewels in the shop. How much anxiety it takes to somehow or other afford that jewelry. But the dirt on the street is free for everyone. So if you just believe in Bhagavad Gita, you can be happy anywhere. If you don't believe, you think, I have to get that gold to be happy. But actually, what's the difference? Krishna explains in Gita that earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego, These eight elements are constituting everything within creation. What is earth? Earth is pure. With earth you can grow food. What is gold? Can you eat gold? Can you drink gold? You can trade it. But if there's no food, who are you going to trade it with? So they're just different combinations of the material elements. Certainly everything has its purpose. If we want to decorate the deities nicely, we want to offer them the best. If there's gold, you offer them gold. If there's dirt, you make tilak and give them tilak. In fact, I see everybody here is decorated with dirt. Gopi Chandan is nothing but earth, mud. So while materialistic people are decorating themselves with precious gold, the devotees are decorating themselves with earth, mud. And which is more beautiful? Hare Krishna. I don't see, if you're on the train with tilak, that somebody's has a gun or a knife in their hand ready to kill you to wipe the mud off your head and take it home with them. It's much safer to wear tilak. And it attracts Krishna more. Ultimately, Krishna is the all-attractive, and real happiness is if we can attract Krishna to attract us. See? So what attracts Krishna is when we're able to control our mind and interpret the environment around us in such a way that is conducive to helping us to achieve the real purpose of our life. That is real, perfect control of the mind. When something very wonderful, success comes into our life, then to control the mind means not to become infatuated by the ego of that success, thinking, I am the doer. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karamani saravasha ahankara vimudatma karata hamiti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul thinks himself to be the doer of his activities, but actually they're very carried out by nature. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. And Krishna is the controller of nature. Sarva karana karanam. Krishna is the cause of all causes. So when there's success, the uncontrolled mind means to become infatuated by that success, to become very proud and boastful, and to become very attached to the results of that success. Control of the mind in that situation means to simply see everything according to reality. That I'm just an instrument. Krishna is the source of intelligence. Krishna is the ability in man. Krishna is the strength of the strong. We can't even open our eyes without the grace of God. We cannot speak a word without the grace of God. We have seen. There was a lady in America. She could talk like I've never seen anybody talk. I won't discuss the content of what she talked. But she could just go on speaking for hours and hours and hours without a second pause, without even thinking about what she had to say. Without even the slightest, what I'm doing now, pause to, or one word instead of another word. She could just go on like the raging wind, just speaking about all kinds of pseudo-spiritual subject matters. And she would speak with such incredible power and precision that people would just be pin drop silence for hours at a time just amazed that anyone could speak like this. She went on, thousands of followers, tens and thousands of followers. They claimed her to be a prophet of God. Who else could speak like that? But then somehow or other, by the circumstances of material nature, she got this disease, Alzheimer's disease. She can't say anything to anyone anymore. She doesn't even remember who she is or who anybody else is. Krishna gives it, and either directly or indirectly, Krishna can take it away at any moment. We've seen great conquerors of the world. What was that in country? Philippines. 1 minute this lady had 6,000 pairs of shoes in her bedroom. Each pair of shoes cost more than practically the yearly income of the people of the Philippines. Hare Krishna. Very symbolic. She was just stepping on everybody's heads. And her husband had more. What to speak of her clothes? Thousands and thousands of beautiful gowns and garments. Ruling the whole nation. And the next minute they're running away from their lives as political refugees, ready to be taken to court. They lost everything they had in a matter of days. Hare Krishna. That's the nature of this world. Krishna, through the laws of nature, the laws of karma, he gives and he takes. To think we're the doer of our activity is simply an illusion. If we claim success, that is impious. Krishna tells Arjuna, do not be attached to success or failure. Understand that I am the ultimate doer. Karma nyeva dikaraste ma paleshu dikashtana. Ma karma palakse tusur ma te sangos dikaramani. That you just perform your duty, but don't be attached to the fruits of your action. Why? Because I'm the cause of the fruits of your action. So this is control of the mind. When success comes, we understand it is by the grace of God that I'm getting the success. Therefore, I should not take the credit. I should give the credit to who deserves the credit? Krishna. We say all glories to Krishna, Jai Shri Krishna. To say it sincerely means we're giving all the credit, all the benefits of our life, we're giving the glory to Krishna. But in this world, people may say Jai Shri Krishna, but actually what they're really saying is Jai Shri Me. I'm saying Jai Shri Krishna, but what you should give credit to me. If I say Jai Shri Krishna, that means Jai Shri, this great devotee who's talking about Krishna. We want credit for everything. This is the disease of the conditioned mind. So when there's prosperity, where there's great success, where there's opulence, we simply with folded palms say, Krishna, thank you. It is your mercy. Now, you enjoy it. And when there's failure, the tendency is to blame everyone, anyone, somehow or other. Everyone's to blame except me. It's your fault, and it's your fault, and it's your fault, and it's her fault, and it's his fault, and it's its fault, and it's that's fault, and ultimately, it's Krishna's fault. Why is Krishna doing like this to me? We can't humble ourselves to say, it's my fault. I deserve worse. This is just a little. But how auspicious it is. I can turn to Krishna. I could cry out his name. I could perfect my life. So in essence, man manabhava mad bhakto madhya jimnam namaskuru mame vaisha shishatyam te prati jani priyoshime. The perfection of controlling the mind is to always think of Krishna favorably. The residents of Vrindavan, when the big demons were coming, they were not thinking, why is this demon coming to Vrindavan? We're just nicely growing our crops and milking cows. They were just thinking, Krishna, you are our only shelter. When there was blazing forest fire around them, they were thinking, Krishna, you are our only shelter. When Indra was showering torrents and torrents of rains from the Samvartaka clouds, these are the clouds that destroy the universe. It was a torrential rainpour, millions of times worse than the monsoons in Bombay, when the whole city comes to a standstill. When all this rain was coming down with lightning and thunder, and Indra was up there just directing, destroy them. The simple Vrijabhasis, they just put the cows in front of them and cried out, Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho, Krishna, you're very strong. If you like, protect your cows, here they are. Everything that happened, they just turned to Krishna. That is control of the mind. So yes, we can expect anything to happen at any moment. One time I was giving a class, and I said that, anything could happen at any moment, and a coconut fell right here. That was from a tree. Another time I said, anything could happen at any moment, and there happened to be a pigeon overhead. And he was a better shot than the coconut tree. It's fact. These days, you don't know what's going to happen. Padam, padam, yad vipadam, nate sham. If our mind is controlled, we're fearless in every situation. Bajahure mana. Sri Nanda Nandana Abhayat Sharanara Vindare Dulabamanava Janama Satsange Taraha Ekavo Sindare. Oh, my dear mind, please engage yourself in the worship of Sri Nanda Nandana. Because when you place yourself at his lotus feet, you will be fearless. To be fearless means no anxiety. Govinda Das goes on. Edanajo vana putra parijana itehi ache parati tire kamala dala jala jivana talamala bajahun hari padani tire. I have spent my life, there has been sleepless nights serving all kinds of wicked people and getting all kinds of painful results. And I've given everything of all my human energy to raise this family of wife and children and some money and wealth. And my heart is full of pain because I know at any minute anything can happen to any of us. Just like a drop of water appears on a lotus leaf for a moment, then it slips away. Attachments in this world to our health, to our life, to the health and the life of everyone around us, to the whole empire we have created. Like a castle in the sand. You can be the wealthiest multi-billionaire in the world, or you can just have a little flat in Car District of Bombay. But you should know, working so hard, but it's like a castle of sand on the shore of the ocean. The waves of time are coming closer and closer and closer. And know for certain that that one fateful wave is coming. There's nothing left. Govinda Das prays, mind, don't be attached to all these things. They will simply cause you frustration. Engage your mind in worshipping Lord Hari. Bhajahun Hari Padani today. Sravana Kirtana Smarana Bandana Pada Sevana Dasya Re Pujana Saki Janat Mani Vedana Govinda Dasa Vilasa Re. By engaging in the 9 processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing about Krishna, chanting the holy names and glories of Krishna, remembering Krishna, worshipping Krishna, offering prayers to Krishna, being Krishna's servant, carrying out his orders, worshipping his lotus feet, befriending Krishna, and surrendering everything to Krishna. The scriptures explain these 9 processes are the ways by which we can fix our mind on Krishna. And every circumstance that comes into our life, our reaction should be to fix our mind on Krishna. Whether it's health or disease, success or failure, honor or dishonor, happiness or distress, pleasure or pain, birth or death, heat or cold. The dualities of material existence are always upon us. One side of the duality causes us misery, and the other causes pleasure. But a devotee does not discriminate what causes me misery or pleasure. A devotee is trying to see whatever happens, let it bring me closer to Krishna. Because in Krishna there's real pleasure. Sukha dukkha da. The happiness and the distress in this world are illusion. They're illusory. Because they're temporary. Krishna says, Dukalayam Ashashwadam, Mamu Petya Punarjanma, Dukalayam Ashashwadam, Natnavanti Mahatmana, Samsadim Puramam Gata. Those who surrender to me, who are always meditating on the spiritual world, they are free from the temporary conditions that are the source of misery of this world. How to meditate on the spiritual world. That is what Bhagavad Gita is telling us. And in the end, antakali chamam eva smaran bhakta kalevaram ya prayati samad bhavam yati nasprati sangshaya. If you just think of me at the time of death, you will attain me without fail. Yogi nama pisaravisham madgitenantaratmana sharavam bhajatayamam sameyukta tamamata. Of all yogis, he who abides in me with faith is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. That means whatever may happen, we meditate on Krishna with faith. That is how we control the mind. Simply sitting, meditating on the tip of our nose in rapt attention, or meditating on the inhalation and exhalation of our breaths, or meditating on the various sensations of our body going up and down, or meditating on a particular impersonalistic mantra. These things may help us to focus our mind, may even help us to control our minds from being affected by the external circumstances of the world. But it does not give you shelter. But if we meditate on Krishna, we attain the shelter of the spiritual world. We attain his mercy. If at the time of death you're thinking of nothing, then you'll become nothing for some time. You'll merge into some nothingness. But the mind is still there. The soul wants pleasure. Anandamayo byashat. It's not satisfied simply immersed in an ocean of nothingness. So therefore, the perfection of meditation, Krishna explains, is to remember him with faith. Unless you have faith, you cannot remember him. Because when difficulties come, if you don't have faith, you will be running to all other shelters in the forms of the fallible soldiers of this world. They cannot really help us in the end. Only Krishna can save us. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita is teaching exclusively this message for those who understand properly. Man manabhava madbhakto madhyajim nam namaskar. Always think of me. All the various philosophical, logical explanations in Gita are meant to bring you to always think of Krishna. And this was Arjuna's understanding. Param brahma param dhamma pavitramitam uttamam. That Krishna, you are the supreme. Everyone has understood this like this. Ahus tvam nirshayar sarve. Devarshya naradastata. Asito devalovyasa swayam saivasam. That all the great persons have understood. Narada, Vyas, Asita, Devala, and you yourself are saying this. That you are the supreme Brahman. You are the ultimate shelter for all living beings. Therefore I surrender to you. Arjuna fought the battle. There's a battle in front of all of us in this world. Krishna consciousness is not for a lazy person. Laziness is death. Whatever a devotee does, he does it with morality, with honesty, with an integrity, and with full enthusiasm, because he's offering the results to God. Arjuna was Kshatriya, but because he was thinking of Krishna, he was the best Kshatriya. He was offering his body, his mind, his words, his life to serving Krishna through his occupational duty. But he was doing it all, immersed in the remembrance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is why we worship Arjuna, because he had understood perfectly the true message of Bhagavad Gita. Which in essence means to control the mind. And in essence, controlling the mind means not just making it still. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said that better than a still mind is an agitated mind. The yogis don't accept this principle. Arjuna wanted a still mind. But Krishna agitated it. Arjuna said, I'm going to leave this battlefield and I'm going to just be a nice yogi and have a still mind. This is too much. Having to fight a war with relatives, friends, and teachers in both camps? It's too disturbing to this mind, Krishna. I'm going to leave this battlefield and I'm going to have peace. And Krishna taught the highest perfection of spiritual realization. He said, Arjuna, fight. Be agitated. Get angry. All right, Krishna. Fight. But do it for me. That's the ultimate peace. That's the ultimate ecstasy. The soul doesn't want peace. People chant, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. But what is real peace? Real peace doesn't simply mean no troubles today. Everything's very relaxed and nice. Everyone likes me. And inside my heart, I'm feeling an ambrosial stillness. But is that what Krishna taught Arjuna? An ambrosial stillness? Krishna wanted to give Arjuna not peace, but ecstasy. What is the nature of the soul? Not sat-chit shanti. Not eternal, full of knowledge and full of peace. The soul is sat-chit ananda. This is ananda ashram. This is not the place for peace. This is the place for ananda. That's why we've come here tonight. Because we want ecstasy. Arjuna was in ecstasy when he was fighting that battle because he was doing it immersed in remembrance of Krishna. When Prahlad was being thrown off mountains, thrown in oceans, put in pits of venomous snakes, do you think he was in peace? He was millions of light years beyond peace. He was in ananda. He was in transcendental ecstasy. Because in that situation, his mind was not thinking this is good and this is bad. His mind was thinking, this is the perfect opportunity to take shelter of Krishna and cry out his holy names. And if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, where's peace? It's ecstasy! Agasura swallowing the children. They're not Om Shanti, they're Hare Krishna. They're in ecstasy. Indra's showering down his reins, and they're just looking at Krishna. You are our only shelter. Their hearts swollen, overflooding with an ocean of bliss. That is what we want. And to serve Krishna, we're willing to accept any difficulty. And that's where our ecstasy is, in pleasing Krishna. When you water the root of the tree, all parts of the tree become ecstatic. It's not that we just hang from the tree, not being disturbed by the wind or the rain, and we feel some peace. We want to be nourished according to the needs of the soul. Sat-chit ananda. And that ecstasy can be found in every possible situation of life if we learn the art of turning to Krishna with a humble and grateful heart. One who sees me everywhere and everything in me, he is never lost, nor is he, I am never lost to him, nor he is ever lost to me. This verse from Bhagavad Gita is explaining that one whose mind is unbridled, self-realization is difficult work. But he whose mind is controlled and who strives by appropriate means is assured of success. That is my opinion. And what does that appropriate mean? To always think of Krishna. To run to Krishna in every situation. In that endeavor, we are guaranteed the ultimate success. But that does not happen automatically, because we are so conditioned since time immemorial to taking shelter of the illusory energy. We have to recondition ourselves to turn to Krishna. And that is why we need the spiritual masters to teach us the process. We have to regulate our lives and center it around remembering Krishna. This is the essence of all the Vedic instructions, to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna in any circumstance. Om apavitra pavitro va sarvavasto kati katopi va Yasmarit Pundarikaksho. Yasmarandasa. That purified or unpurified, if you just remember Krishna, whose beautiful lotus eyes, that glance of his lotus eyes will give you all perfection if you can remember them. We are purified within and without. That is the conclusion of all transcendental religious principles. Thus, the spiritual masters, they are training us to remember Krishna. We rise in the morning, and what do? We don't turn on the television to remember the miseries of material existence. We immediately take our bath so our body is clean, but we're taking our bath to clean it for Krishna. Then we put on the tilak to dedicate our body to Krishna. 12 places. Then we pick up our japa mala and we chant the names of Krishna. Then we offer Mangal Arati to the deities, meditating on the form of Krishna. Then we hear Srimad Bhagavatam to meditate on the teachings and the pastimes of Krishna. We begin our day completely immersing the first hours of our day's life in Krishna's thoughts. And then throughout the day, whatever we do, we are trying to do it in such a spirit of consciousness that it's pleasing to Krishna. If you lie, if you cheat, if you're egoistic, then Krishna will not accept that service that you're doing. But whatever it may be, if we're doing it dutiful, with humility, with integrity, and we know that the fruits are going to be offered to Krishna, then we're Krishna conscious. So we have been given a simple, wonderful, exciting process by which we can remember Krishna in every situation in life. And that is our success. Our success is not if we make money or lose money. Our success is if we remember Krishna with integrity and honesty and humility through the process of whatever comes. And this is the real meaning of controlling the mind. A devotee does not look for peace in this world. A devotee looks for an opportunity to serve Krishna and please Krishna in this world. Once one of our god brothers was in Vrindavan, and he had some very difficult service to do. And he asked Srila Prabhupada, that I'm in Vrindavan. Everybody else is just Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. And I'm trying to help you build this temple. And at every moment, people are trying to cheat us. And it's very difficult. Too much anxiety. I just want to do Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. Prabhupada explained, it's Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. Chanting the names of the Lord. The perfection of your life is not just that you're chanting, it's how you're chanting. If you're accepting great difficulties and surrendering to serving and pleasing Krishna, then when you chant Radhe Radhe or Hare Krishna, then Krishna will take it seriously. Then that mantra will really purify your heart. Control of the mind means not thinking of my own happiness, even through liberation or peace. Real control of the mind is, I will do whatever pleases the Lord. I will accept any convenience or inconvenience, but Krishna must be satisfied. Let me remember him in that spirit. And always chant his holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Thank you very much. Today is a very auspicious, special occasion that we have come to observe. We have been discussing how whatever we do, we should see it as an opportunity to remember Krishna and invoke the blessings of Krishna in our life. This is real civilized culture. Whatever important activity may come in our life, we want to seek pleasing Krishna, pleasing his devotees, and getting their blessings. Within the setting of a family, it is a natural service to Lord Krishna to produce children. One of our great acharyas, Srila Thakur Bhaktivinoda, he had 10 children, and he raised each of his children to be great devotees of the Lord. And one of those children, who later became Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, is our beloved Param Guru. To have children in the Grihastha ashram is a sacred offering to the Lord if it is done in this proper consciousness that we are speaking tonight. That we're having this child so that we can center our whole family existence around making this child a pure, unalloyed devotee that will never take birth again in this world. A child that will grow up to be something wonderful, to glorify you throughout its life. But that is not possible. Nothing is possible without the blessings of Vaishnavas and without the good wishes of noble, caring people. Today, this very beautiful arrangement has been made for all of us to come together to hear the beautiful teachings of Sri Bhagavad Gita and to chant the holy names by our very, very dear devotee, Sri Gauranga Prabhu, and his blessed wife, Preeti Mataji, because they have just had their second child. Their daughter, whose name is Pruna, was very excited when she had little brother. So they brought the child to me and asked if I would give it name. And I said, I requested you write down all the best names, and if you like, I'll select one from them. So they wrote all their names. Each member of the family wrote the names they liked best. But I saw in the little daughter, Purna, that she was attached to one particular name. So I prayed to Krishna, what will please her most? And I chose the name Nimai. And she was very happy. She said, that's the name I chose. So this little baby's name is Nimai, and this program was called for the purpose of giving blessings to Nimai. And Sri Gauranga Prabhu is establishing a very rare and wonderful example for all grihasthas to follow. We shouldn't think this child is mine. This child is the property of Krishna. It's under my care, and it's my duty that this child is blessed. Therefore, let me serve all the devotees in such a way that they'll be so pleased that they'll shower their heartfelt blessings upon this baby child. Our own Guru Maharaj taught us this principle. He said when he was a little boy, his father would invite so many sadhus to his house every single night. And he would serve the sadhus. Before he or anybody in the family would eat, he would fully satisfy all the sadhus. Then he would give them donations after the prasad. And he only had one request. Please bless my small child that he will become a pure devotee of Srimati Radharani. That is a real father. In fact, there were, what do they call them in India? Tushans. The teacher of the Tushans, tutors. They would come to teach Prabhupada, little Abhay Charan, all kinds of technical academic subjects. They were called by the mother. But when our Guru Maharaj was a small child, he was very excited about learning beats of the murdanga. So his teachers would be waiting outside and he would be practicing murdanga. And Prabhupada's father was thinking, this is very good. Let him learn kirtan. Hare Krishna. Of course, he also learned his education very nicely. But the priority was Krishna. If the priority is not chanting the holy names, then whatever occupational duties or whatever education you may have, shramevihi kevalam, it's all a waste of time. So Srila Prabhupada's father was always seeking the blessings of Vaishnavas, the blessings of sadhus, to empower his child with Krishna's mercy. And today we see Sri Gauranga Prabhu and Preeti Mataji are following in the footsteps of great souls. They have called us together to create a wonderful environment to make us very happy, very comfortable, to hear the glories of the Lord, to chant the names of the Lord. There's a wonderful feast of Krishna's prasad. And what are they asking in return? They don't want money from us. They don't want recognition from us. They just want, give your blessings that our child will become a pure devotee of Krishna. They're not asking for the blessings of wealth, education, or even liberation. They're not asking for the blessing, let my child marry a beautiful daughter from a wealthy aristocratic family. Let my child go to Harvard University in Boston, Massachusetts and get a PhD. Let my child take care of us when we're old and supply us all our needs. They're asking, please bless our child, that this child could always find the Ananda Ashram. They could always find the bliss of serving Krishna, of keeping his mind always in Krishna by chanting the holy names. Is Sri Gauranga Prabhu here? Is Nimai here? Please come. Bring your whole family, please. And please offer this auspicious blessing that this child may attain the taste for hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. That this child may be a very worthy servant of Srila Prabhupada and Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, by loudly chanting Hari Bol. Teaching us how we should chant the holy names.